Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us each and every week. We'd also like to take this opportunity to ask that you please support GeekLegacy.com by clicking on any of our Amazon links before you go shopping. On this week's podcast, we talk about the return of Arrested Development on Netflix, Dave's D-Box experience with Fast and the Furious 6, Pedal to the Metal, and Stephen K. James, a.k.a. SKJY2K13, shares his thoughts on Microsoft's Xbox One. We hope you enjoy episode 47 of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. It's David here with Randy, Justin, and Amanda, special guest star, Stephen K. James from the website and from Pixelated Podcast. We're all going to chat about some holiday cheer, but Amanda didn't have any fun because we made her like a sweatshop watch all 126 episodes of Arrested Development, just for your pleasure. Amanda, start us off. What happened?
That was amazing. My impression of a milking man.
Oh, she'll be neither seen nor heard.
Now do your impression as Job.
Do you think the guy in the $5,000 suit is just gonna like explain the entirety of Arrested Development to you? Like, come on.
Perfect.
Yes.
So what did you think of the new truncated fourth season, the Netflix semi-original series?
It technically is not truncated because it's longer than the third season was, which was only 13 episodes. But I think so far so good. It's kind of rough, though, because of the whole focusing on only one character at a time. So there's not as much of the interaction between all the family members. And I think they had a lot of scheduling issues because it seemed like a lot of the time I was looking at a double of whoever the primary character for the episode was supposed to be talking to. It was really weird. I don't know if maybe my sound is off on Netflix because it really seemed like there was a lot of dubbing and strange what's the back and forth camera angles thing. I don't know what it's called.
Talking about like coverage or like
yeah the coverage is weird, so I don't know. I got really distracted by stuff like that, but I don't know. While I was watching it, I was trying to, you know, see what kind of quotes Justin and I might pull from this new season and test each other with, but nothing
it's really not happening
out.
Is it?
No, nothing standing out.
Boring. I don't I'm not liking it at all. I mean, I'm only three episodes in, obviously, so that's not too far, but I thought the first episode was something. What was it, like On the Wings of a Phoenix or something like that? I don't remember what it was called, but I didn't like how Michael was kind of like a bumbling idiot. He's always been the down-to-earth and smart one out of the bunch. And this new way that they're portraying him is he's like a loser. I get that maybe he just because he hit rock bottom or something, but I didn't like seeing Michael in that state.
So with the way they're doing it with each episode focusing on a character, is there like some underlying theme that you can kind of see, like, okay, that's going to be the plot line for the movie, or is it just, you know, each episode standalone?
Oh, no, they're not really standalone.
So they do have some tie-in.
Yeah, it's mostly centering around Lucille Bluth's trial, since she's the one who's behind all of their legal issues in the earlier in the series. And you know, they're all supposed to be like helping her, I don't know, get acquitted or whatever. But of course, they're all failing miserably.
But I mean, I've been looking forward to it forever, just as much as you guys have. And I think maybe my anticipation might have something to do with the letdown. But I'm definitely going to finish it, and I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But when it comes to my annual rewatching of the series, don't be surprised if I just stop at season 3.
I, for one, won't be surprised. Yeah. I'll be downright shocked.
What about you, Dave? What's going on?
Not much. Just chilling. Keeping it real. You know, how I do.
I heard you went on a Fast and Furious ride. How did that go? Why don't you explain to everybody
what a segue.
What it is.
Master of Segway, Justin Cavender. I had the opportunity to go see Fast and the Furious 6 again in something called D-Box, and it is as dirty as it sounds. And if you want to Google it, it's, you know, just the letter D and then hyphen B-O-X. And what it is, it's supposed to be like a more immersive way to watch movies. For example, the seats are scored to move along with the action, and it's almost like a ride. And it definitely enhanced the experience. It was kind of cool because you could turn the seats up and down if you didn't want to, you know, go on this crazy roller coaster ride. I saw it in Orange County. The only place to see it in Orange County is at the Anaheim Garden Walk by Disneyland. In LA and San Diego, there's a couple other theaters that do it. And if you're not in Southern California, it doesn't really matter because you're not in Southern California. Just kidding. But it was good.
Well, that was mean.
I think that I was a little harsh in my review, so I was going to upgrade my review from a C+ to a B-. And while I was watching it, I remembered one of the things that bugged me that I didn't mention in my review was why they had to use walkie-talkies. Like, when they're, like, driving in the car, they actually use, like, handheld walkie-talkies instead of, like, you know, Bluetooth, like the bad guys use, and just bugged me. But I guess I'm too picky.
So they could be on a secure channel.
I'm sure the bad guys are on a secure channel, too.
I don't know.
I think they've always used walkie-talkies. That's just the way they do things.
They're old school.
Yeah, but you would think that it would be more efficient and easier for them to just have hands-free.
Fun fact about that movie theater over at the Garden Walk is they actually have certain seating sections where you can drink alcohol while you watch a movie. I'm not sure if it's part of the whole D-Box thing. Probably not, because you would probably get sick and vomit all over people in there if you're shaking around after being drinking. But that is a really different kind of progressive movie theater as far as it goes.
Right. Those are called their Star Class seating. It's a fun perk of my 9-to-5 job is I got to go sample all their different theaters, and you know, we got to watch a movie in the Star Class, and it's definitely the way to watch a movie. They got these nice leather-bound recliners that are like about 1.5 times the normal seat, and they serve you beer and wine and food at like table side. And it's pretty nice.
I want to watch an X-rated movie in a D-Box theater.
In out.
Does that have like the mist spray you when crazy things happen too?
That's a 4D experience. Any theme park you go to, that's the fourth dimension.
I need
water.
To see one of those too.
Yeah. 4D equals snow.
You know that heat that emits from the seat doesn't stop at the theaters though. That burn goes with you when you go home.
I like it.
What happens at the D-Box stays at the D-Box.
Until the janitor comes and cleans it up. I think you should stand by your grade, Dave. I don't think
don't let all those naysayers who's been watching your reenactment video change your mind.
I tell you, everyone who watched the reenactment loves it. Just read the comments.
I don't think I'll do that.
But but obviously my less than stellar review and the less than stellar reviews by almost every other media outlet in the world didn't hamper the box office for Fast and the Furious 6. It made
$7 billion.
Yeah, it made $120 million over the 4-day weekend. To put that into comparison, Fast 5 made $92 million over 4 days. Fast 5 didn't come out over Memorial Day weekend, but still, you know, it made, you know, $28 million more than its, you know, predecessor. So obviously we're pretty certain to see some more Fast and the Furious.
You know what's interesting about those movies too is that the sequels seem to be making more money than the one before. It's fun how that works.
That's a good trend to have.
That is a good trend to have. Not too many franchises can rely on that.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah. I mean, well, the other big release this week was Hangover 3, and it did the exact opposite. Over 4 days, it made $63 million. Hangover 2 made $135 million. So it made about $72 million less than its predecessor. That's a big number. And then a quick other things at the box office. Star Trek Into Darkness, which everyone, I think, universally loves, doesn't seem to be faring as well as some other films or as well as Paramount had hoped. Right now, it's at $155 million domestically, which is about what the 2009 Star Trek made at the same time frame, but it didn't have Memorial Day or, you know, the benefit of the 3D upcharge. So, I mean, it's still, you know, it's not bombing by any stretch of the imagination. It's still definitely going to make its money back and be successful and have a third installment. I think they're just kind of surprised that a film like that would underperform, where like Iron Man 3 and Fast 6 and other the other blockbusters for the summer franchise summer season are succeeding so well when Into Darkness had such good reviews.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, and now we still always go to like the first show on Sunday morning is typically when we go to the movies, and our matinee price is $9 a ticket. So I mean, we're paying $18 for like a 10:30 or 11 a.m. show, and just a couple of years ago it would have been, you know, like $6 a ticket. And it's just sad that it costs $18 for two people just to go to get into the theater. So I don't know. I think that ticket prices, yeah, they're making more money per ticket sale, but I think less people are just going to the movies. It's like, well, do we want to spend $18 to go see it, or can we spend $1.50 when it hits at Redbox?
Date night used to be dinner and a movie. Now it's dinner or a movie.
Yeah, something like that.
Sometimes it's not even dinner.
Yeah.
You just sit in a coffee shop and have a $2 cup of coffee instead.
How about Netflix and a Blumpkin?
There you go.
I was going to say Blumpkin. But last little thing on the box office, Iron Man 3 is officially the fifth highest grossing film of all time. It's raked in $1.147 billion worldwide. So it's safe to assume that it's a success. It passed, it's next on the list is going to be Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which made $1.3 billion. But it should probably pass that in the next couple of weeks. And by the end of the summer, it'll probably end up maybe the third highest grossing film of all time. The Avengers was at $1.511 billion. So it has a bit of a haul. And it's already opened in China and India and the U.S., which are the three big markets for it. So cross our fingers. Maybe Tony Stark can prevail.
I don't even remember Iron Man 3. I got to watch it again.
Iron Man 3?
Yeah, I already forgot it. Bunch of suits. And they all blow up.
It's Iron Man 3. Tony Stark's revenge.
Yeah. That sounds right.
It's like MTV used to have music videos. Iron Man used to have Iron Man.
What?
But
it's actually a pretty accurate description.
Iron Man and Iron Man 3. Not Tony Stark.
Oh.
The detective now. Like
they had budget issues. I hear they had to make that movie for $50.
Oh. Well, it looked pretty good for $50 then.
Yeah,
they spent it all on those 42 suits autonomously flying around at the end.
They're just a bunch of Target action figures.
Yeah.
They just blow them up with firecrackers.
They got the silly string shooters you can find at Toys R Us and just strap those to Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Sounds about
actually,
right.
Actually, there was a guy who recreated the trailer, like, shot for shot. It's pretty hilarious.
With action figures?
With action figures and real people.
That's cool.
It was pretty cool.
Is it like the Ninja Turtles one that someone did a while back?
I've seen that one, and that's super badass. Like the entire opening sequence, the theme song.
For the cartoon.
From the cartoon version. It was completely animated, like stop motion animation with the action figures. It was spot on.
That theme song.
Yeah, I love that.
Just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 64 times.
And seriously, I'm going to have it in my head all the time.
There was a lot
but
of
you
lyrics.
Love it. Don't deny it.
I love it. I love it to death.
Just Leonardo leads Donatello does machines.
Yeah.
Raphael is cool but rude. Michelangelo is a party dude.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's everything you need to know in one catchy 2-minute theme song.
That's right. But that's all I got for movies and box office.
That's it.
All I got. I got nothing. What do you got, Randy or Justin?
Well, Microsoft had their big reveal last week for the Xbox One. Did most of you catch the video, the big reveal? Lots of fun,
yes,
right?
I did.
So much happened. Oh, wait. Not exactly. A couple things I do want to talk about. First of all, the name, Xbox One, the idea being that it's your all-in-one device, your all-in-one source of entertainment, yet you have to plug in all your shit into it in order to use it. So I don't really get the idea of why I want to plug in my cable box to it to stream TV. It just seems like an extra step.
Yeah, so the idea was the Xbox has an input for your DVR, so you're able to do all those voice commands and do all the multitasking. So you can watch football while checking your fantasy football while Skyping towards your fantasy football league.
Right.
At least that was the example that they used.
That's the example that they used, correct.
And also football.
And yeah, exactly. That big deal with the NFL, which is a great sport in the United States, but I think the rest of the world watches soccer.
The other football.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean, we live in the United States, so yay for us getting football. But
well, that's the thing, too, that's interesting, is they made a big deal about that, and then it was announced afterwards that the NFL made a, I think it was a $400 million deal with Microsoft. So it almost sounds like you're able to watch, like, the iteration of Sunday Ticket without subscribing to Sunday Ticket. You know what I mean?
Right, but obviously you'd still have to have... Let's just pretend that that is the case. You'd still have to have your gold subscription, I would imagine, with Live. I guess I do like the idea of the snap mode where you're able to run multiple apps and switch in between them relatively seamlessly. But me personally, I'm not such a crazy multitasker. Like, I think of Marty Jr. in Back to the Future Part 2 where he's watching like 19 channels. That's yeah. Not me. I don't do that. I mean, I think every TV has had picture in picture for like the last 15, 20 years and I've never used it once. And this is not the kind of guy that I am. And if I'm watching TV, I don't want to Skype with somebody and talk to them while I'm watching. The only time I could ever think that would be fun is if we were watching a horrible movie together and we wanted to just have like a fake little commentary thing going on. I think
there you go. Then
that might be fun. But even that, I probably wouldn't even do it anyway.
Well, it's gonna be interesting to see how, because when they did all the multitasking and how I forgot the guy's name, but he was basically showing how your Xbox can go from internet to movie to
game.
Anything else. Yeah, they didn't show the games, really. That was the other thing. And the PlayStation 4 already has some kind of built-in video streaming service, so it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft actually shows something in that equivalent or just make it, you know, you can only watch 500 videos at once.
Right. Well, I think when he said go to the game thing, I think it just cut to that motorsports game that Forza.
Oh yeah, that's right. The one of three games that they showed.
Yeah, that was just a trailer. That was like pre-rendered and looking gorgeous, but big deal. It's just a trailer, so it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and that's one thing that people are getting really overhyped about is how, oh, there's no game, so I'm not going to buy it. You know, E3 is only a couple weeks away at this point, so the way I look at it is Microsoft is just going to, in the real world, or at least in my real world, they're going to come out and say, hey, here's 2 hours of nothing but games that we're going to show you, and then blow everybody away that way.
Right.
Because they got all the specs, they got all the, you know, technical boring stuff that most people don't care about out of the way already.
Yeah, so then they can just focus on games, which is great, and that's what everybody wants. I think the exclusives is an interesting point. They were going to have 15 exclusives, and 8 of them were going to be new IPs altogether.
Correct.
So that's exciting.
Now, Randy, is Randy the only other one who has Kinect other than me?
I think so.
Do you use your voice controls when you Kinect at all, Randy?
Sometimes.
Do they ever work?
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to work fine.
Mine?
I'm not in a real echoey room, though. I think that might have direct bearing as to whether or not it understands you, how bad your echo is.
Well, mine has picked up this nice quirk that it recognizes Vader's bark as turn Xbox off. My dog barks, my Xbox turns off.
Nice.
Like, it's the we couldn't figure it out forever, and I'm like, what is going on? And like,
and she is a barking dog too.
Finally, I'm like, there's no possible way that this works, but let me try it. And so like, I got like her ball or something like that. I'm like, hey, wanna play? And she was like, and then the Xbox turns off. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? So I'm gonna have to upload a video of that for you guys, but it never works for me.
I was hoping somebody would have done that during the keynote speech.
It's pretty good. You
guys showing all this stuff, and you just hear someone stand up in the crowd going, Xbox off, and shut down the whole presentation.
Yeah, the presentation went by pretty smooth as far as demonstrating the Kinect. Afterwards, I read on Joystick and IGN that there were some problems, but for the most part, it was pretty decent.
It was all the things that they didn't announce that were announced after everything. That's when people got really upset about things.
Yeah, like used games, for example.
Oh, boy.
There's this idea that GameStop hasn't come out, because obviously their big market is used games. That's where they make all of their money. It's in the used game market, at least a very high percentage. And 80%. I'm sorry?
It's like 80%. It's huge.
It's a lot. And so they're not allowed to talk about it until Microsoft makes their formal announcement. But God forbid there is some kind of used game fee that you have to pay. That's going to be pretty upsetting to people.
Yeah, so the latest is, you know, Justin, you and I talked about it, I think, the other day just through Twitter or something, where the console doesn't need to be online all day, but it does have a random every 24-hour online check just to make sure the console's connected, and the used game fee has been ranged from, oh, it's nothing, to, oh, you need to basically pay $60 for a new activation code.
Right. And exactly. And so, like, if you, like, right now, you buy a video game, you're done with it, you want to let your friend borrow it. You know, oh, hey, I checked this out. I just beat Halo 4. It's incredible. Go play it. And then your friend won't be able to put it in their machine and play it unless they pay the $60 to buy it again. Unless I go over to your house, sign in as me on my live account, then we can play the game on my account on your machine. But once I leave, you would have to play on my account again. That's
yeah, weird. And then there was some talk about how only one account can be tied into a console for a while, and Microsoft hasn't really, I don't know, they're making announcements and just kind of backpedaling, and they're not really doing a good job for themselves right now.
Yeah, and see, that doesn't work, because let's say I have three kids in my house, they're each going to want their own little profile, you know, and they're all going to want their own little trophies for the games that they play. I'm not going to buy three Xbox Ones and they all have their own box, and then they can't interchange their games with each other. That doesn't make any sense.
The one thing I did think was kind of cool, though, was use the disc, you install it onto the hard drive, which is mandatory, and then after that, you don't need the disc. You can just, you know, turn the game on without the disc installed into the tray. I thought that was kind of a cool feature.
That is, but it's a 500 gig hard drive, and the games are going to be on Blu-ray discs, so who knows how big the games are, and how long is it going to take before that 500 gig hard drive is filled up. Not only that, there's a big push for digital downloads. You know, in the next couple of years, a lot of people are going to be doing that anyway, so your hard drive is going to fill up pretty fast. You can't take out this hard drive, but it does support external hard drives. So, you know, you have your USB 3.0 slots to plug in your new hard drives, but how many of those are you going to want to go through?
And that's true, but there's only so many game developers who actually utilize the whole Blu-ray disc, because I think a dual-layer Blu-ray disc is 50 gigs.
Right.
And I know Metal Gear Solid 4 was like 49 gigs when it was all said and done. Uncharted 3 was close to 40. God of War was over 40. And outside of that, like most games, they only use very little data. The rest of it is just kind of, I guess, you know, sprucing up graphics here and there. So I don't see that being a huge issue, especially not right away.
Well, not right away, but I mean,
yeah, exactly.
This generation has been 8 years. You know how many games people buy in the course of 8 years? That's a lot.
At least eight. Eight Christmases.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And then another thing, too, is you know, one thing that makes me sad is that I get the whole backwards compatibility thing. I understand why they don't want to do that, but with this generation of consoles being 8 years, and the big push on Xbox Live Arcade, where everyone's just buying all these indie games, I think that it's silly that not even the indie games would work on your new box that are tied to your account.
There's almost going to be no indie games whatsoever on the Xbox One.
Yeah, which is terrible. So that's just a little discouraging. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, region coding. So now all software must match the region of the console itself. That's kind of sad for people. So that basically, if you bought your Xbox One here in the United States, you're gonna have to get all your games to the United States too if you go overseas.
I've never viewed that as a huge issue, though, regardless of generation. I mean, there's a very small market for people that complain about it, but I don't know. I personally don't know a person who, you know, really disliked that feature.
Well, I think that would mostly come into play with people that are in the military that have to travel all about.
Okay, good point.
But, I mean, I that's the only person I could really think of, aside from your geeky super mega gamer that needs their Japanese import Final Fantasy or whatever.
Yeah, it's a big thing with like anime shows that get games. Like there was a Neon Genesis game for Nintendo 64 that was only in Japan, so I imported that game. But a lot of manga shows get video games over there that, you know, they don't get over here. I mean, I don't watch a lot of anime, I don't read a lot of manga, but for someone who was real big into it, you know, they're real big in importing. So, I mean, again, it's a small percentage, but I mean, it's still a percentage of the populace that Sony is going to serve that they're not going to.
I mean, we'll see. It does have three operating systems. There's the Xbox OS, there's Windows, and then a third operating system that helps the other two communicate with each other. So we can call that one like a nice little translator. Microsoft Probably Translator. What was that, Dave?
Nothing. I was going to make a C-3PO joke.
Oh, those aren't funny.
I'm just going to go take my ball and play somewhere else.
Do it. And then lastly, it was just the specs. It's got 8 gigabytes of DDR3, which is interesting because that's kind of an older generation of memory. Then it's got an 8-core CPU, 500 gigabyte hard drive, which you already mentioned, but it is expandable in that you can buy your own little hard drive to plug into the USB ports. It does have a Blu-ray drive, which is a big plus for a lot of people. Some HDMI ports. I don't know. Do you remember how many it's going to have? Something like 3 or 4, right? HDMI ports?
I want to say 3. I know one is...
3?
Yeah, I think it's 3. One is an in, and then the other two are for God knows what.
Yeah.
I don't know why you need 2 outputs, though. That's kind of weird. And then the Kinect is 1080p, 30 frames per second, and it's always on.
You guys want to get one?
No.
Depending what the price is. I don't know. They got to charge extra for all that DDR3 RAM. You know, they don't make it anymore, so they have to. This shit's hard to find now.
I tell you what, that's kind of interesting. I'm surprised they went that route.
But actually, they do still make it, and I know that because I just bought a bunch of it cheap for my Mac.
Because PS4 is using the DDR5. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
But whatever. Whatever floats your boat. I mean, it's not a deal breaker by any means, but that is just for breakdown purposes on a chart. I don't see why you would put yourself lower.
Right.
I could totally see some kid going with his hipster glasses and complaining about it. Yeah. It's not going to be a huge difference, I don't think.
Do we think they're going to be priced the same, if you had to guess?
Yeah, knowing Sony's track record with console releases, I can see them doing something kind of backwards and say like, oh, here's a version for $450 and here's a $550 version, and then Microsoft just says, nah, here's a $400, take it or leave it.
And a lot of people will take it.
Yeah, buy the bundles and then sell it on eBay for 5 million ruples.
That's it. I'm done.
Yay. Fine young man.
Do you have a game for us, Amanda?
I do have a game for us today.
Do we get to play it this week?
Yes.
We got scolded last week.
I'm sorry, it was really late last time. It probably would have made more sense to play it last week because it's a Doctor Who themed game, and last week was the finale. Oh.
Well, I'm out.
Yeah.
So I'll see you guys next week.
Good show, guys. Good show.
No, you guys, everybody can play this game. I promise.
All right.
So, in the vein of our games where you had to pick between two choices, this game is called Disease or Doctor Who.
Wow. Nice.
So, okay. I'm going to give you a word or series of words that's either a disease or an alien from Doctor Who. Keep in mind that Doctor Who's been on for over 50 years, so I had a lot to choose from.
Are we going to have to shout out our answer, or are you calling on us individually?
No, I came up with enough of them that everybody can do it individually. So we will start with, let me think. We'll start with Steven, since Steven's not usually around, and then we'll go Steven, Randy, Justin, David, and I'll just keep going in that order.
Save the best for last.
So everything that you're going to describe is from Doctor Who. It's either a disease or an alien.
No, it's a real. It's either a real disease on Earth. So here's the first one, Steven. Disease or Doctor Who? Kala-Azar.
Kala-Azar. Okay. I'm going to say Doctor Who.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a parasitic disease found in the tropics of Southern Europe.
Wow.
So I should have paid attention to my life sciences class.
Mr. Carson was right.
Yeah, dang.
All right. Justin. Oh, no, sorry, Ryan. Randy. Oh, my God. Can I pronounce? Okay, so also the problem here is that I can't pronounce all of these.
Doctor Who. How can Randy not win?
Well, she's got 50 years to pull from.
A lot of these came from the old... a lot of these came from the old series. So, I went to great pains to pick names that sound like they could be diseases. Anyway. All right. Yixarian.
I am going to say Doctor Who.
That is correct. They were a humanoid race that kind of looked like... weird green guys with giant.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
Heads.
Go on.
You add IAN to the end of anything, and if it's science fiction, they're aliens, and if they're humans, they're Armenian.
Exactly. I was gonna say they're Armenian.
All right.
Just FYI, some Armenians are YAN.
The more you know.
I stand corrected.
I stand erected, Randy.
Woo! Oh, God. All right,
well,
Justin.
That escalated quickly.
Justin.
So did his pants.
Justin.
Sing, I'm here. I'm a little busy, but I'm here.
Oh, God.
Balamuthia.
Now, I have a cousin that has that. I'm going to say it's a disease.
No, you don't.
It's true, I don't.
Okay, I was going to say, who is it?
But I think
it's a disease. It's a disease.
I watch House.
It's a free-living amoeba that's just naturally found in the environment, but it can cause a rare but serious infection of the brain and spinal cord.
Sounds serious.
Whoa.
Not good at all. All right, Dave.
Okay, I want to play this game blind. I'm going disease. Now say what the word is.
You can't do that, Dave.
Disease.
The word is hib.
Disease.
Oh my God, he's right.
Jeez.
What's your attitude, Dave?
Well, I'm winning.
You're not winning. You're tied for three-way tie for first.
I'm still first.
Nobody's winning. I'm just losing.
All right, here's a chance to redeem yourself, Steven. Scarison. Or maybe it's Scarison. Or maybe it's Scarison. Skarasen.
Too many A's for that to be medical. That has to be Doctor Who.
You are correct.
Yes.
It's a kind of a Loch Ness Monster-looking alien. I think maybe they do make a reference to Loch Ness Monster. Hmm. Oh, yeah, they do. Also known as Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, why couldn't you just say that then?
Because that wasn't the actual name of the alien.
Okay, fine. Yay, I'm not losing.
And it doesn't sound like a disease. I got the Loch Ness Monster disease.
Oh.
All right. Randy.
Yeah.
Giardia.
I'm going to say disease.
Yes. Giardia is a microscopic parasite that causes the diarrheal illness known as giardiasis. Giardiasis. Did not take any biological... classes.
It doesn't sound fun either way.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I don't want it.
Oh. Justin. Mandragora helix.
We'll go. I'll go with Doctor Who.
You're correct. Also called the Mandragora Intelligence, and it appeared in the. I don't know. I lost it. It appeared in Old Doctor. Kind of looks like an old guy with a beard.
Oh, shit.
I don't know why it's an alien. All right. Dave.
Doctor Who. Final answer.
How are you doing this?
Yeah.
He's cheating.
I swear to God, if he wins from that bullshit.
It was a Rebosian, which just looks like a human being, so I don't know why they're aliens either.
Yay!
All right. Steven.
I'm here.
Up to you. Well, we still got more, but we're only halfway. So,
Only
halfway.
Fire. Rapid fire.
All right, Steven. Koenig Terrace.
Medical.
You're right.
Yes, suck it.
The disease that babies get. That's kind of sad, actually. All right, Randy.
Yep.
Naegleria.
Medical.
Correct. It's some kind of amoebic parasite.
It's when you neglect your kids.
Justin, Fomasi.
I'm sorry?
Fomasi? Fomasi?
I'll go with Doctor Who.
Yes, you're right. Dave.
Doctor Who.
You're wrong.
Holding! Die now.
Sad.
Ciguatera is a disease.
Sounds bad.
Does.
All right, Steven. Toxocara.
Pills and drink lots of water.
Wait, what was it?
Toxocara.
Toxocara. Doctor Who.
Nope.
Holding!
I'm back
another
to losing.
Parasitic disease. Wait, actually, I guess the most diseases are parasitic. Anyway, moving on. Randy. Oh my god, I don't even know how to say this.
Disease.
Terileptil.
Can you spell that?
Terileptil.
Medical.
Nope.
My first wrong answer.
Justin?
I was looking up the alien, but I couldn't scan fast enough to create useful information. Anyway, all right, Justin.
This is a win.
Last chance. Ecnodine.
Ecnodine. I'll go with Doctor Who again.
Correct!
Yeah, I win.
Just the one question left. You don't win.
Yeah. You can't win. You already lost.
I have two. You have three.
I have three, too.
No, Justin has four.
I have four. I've gotten one right.
Oh. Justin wins.
Everyone else has lost or missed one, at least one.
Oh. Thought we ended the round.
Go. I lost two. With Randy. You can tie. Go
for it. Good. I'm going to go disease.
Wait, what?
I'm going disease.
That's it.
Oh.
I don't get my final one?
She was banking on you sucking and not finishing.
You lose.
I get that a lot. Chip, my final question?
Yeah. That is kind of rude, Amanda.
The game didn't have a multiple of four.
No, it didn't. I wasn't counting on that for some reason.
Like, it's like bingo. I get a free space.
Yeah, the middle square.
You mean to say there weren't enough alien names to come up with in 50 years of programming?
It sounded like
this. I just gave up after 15.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Here's one for you, David. Adipose.
Oh, there you go.
I don't think this is what I say already. I think I already said Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, you did say Doctor Who.
But since Randy said it, I know it's something filthy, so it's a disease.
No, it actually is Doctor Who. To be given away by Amanda's immediate, she probably wouldn't do that if it was an obscure medical thing.
Especially if she had it or knew about it.
Yeah, let's.
Burning urination. Well, that was fun.
That was fun. Great game.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Justin,
on your victory.
Thank you. What do I win?
I'm going to send you a nice little gift certificate.
Sweet.
Getting like a cheese Outback basket. Steakhouse.
Oh, I don't like Outback.
During
it's overpriced.
It's stupid. Some nice Christmas meat.
Oh, there you go. I'm a vegan now, but not really. I try to be, but I like milk chocolate, so I can't be.
You're a freegan. Whatever's free.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Does anybody else have any last minute things?
Nope.
Nada.
Oh, I do, now that I think about it. So we have some new friends. They have a podcast called Beyond the Screens. And what they do is they interview a celebrity in every one of their podcasts. And most recently, they have interviewed Alan Oppenheimer, who you know as the voice of Skeletor from the 80s He-Man cartoon. And that's really exciting. And I actually can't wait to hear this podcast. It'll be available on June 15th. And you can go to btsshow.net. That's Bastard Thomas Smiley Show.net. So there's that. It's an easy way to remember it. Thank you. And you can actually find a link to their website on our homepage under Friends of the Legacy. They have a fun little trailer, or a teaser rather, for their Alan Oppenheimer interview. What's interesting about this guy is that he actually wrote in the insults that Skeletor is famous for, like when he calls people like a boob or blockhead or whatever. That was big in the 80s, blockhead.
That's cool.
But it was his idea for him to be just a mean old bastard, and they wrote it in that way. It's kind of cool.
Did we all watch Geek Legacy sent ya?
We all watched He-Man, right? In the 80s?
Of course. Nope. I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
I liked it because it was a bunch of guys walking around in their little panties and they had a lot of muscles.
I don't know why I was never into it. I mean, I think I was the right age for it, but I just, for whatever reason, never got into it.
You didn't like your homoeroticism to be veiled in a kid's show. You liked it just straight out.
Right? Yeah. In your face. Dudes yeah. flexing and eating bananas.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, animation never really got my goat until they started bringing tentacles in.
Yeah, I heard that about you.
Bring it around full circle. Which... everyone who wasn't listening to our unrecorded pre-show topic, you're missing out.
It's safer to not hit record right away, by the way. We are dirty, dirty bastards when we first come in contact with each other.
Yeah, we usually need about 20 minutes to get out of our system.
Yeah, we have a bit of a cleansing, a colon cleansing. About 5 minutes into the...
But it's out of our mouths.
Yeah.
Need to wear a hazmat suit in those first 5 minutes.
No. There's like yellow klaxons and like sirens. It's a thing.
Huh.
Ooh.
Well, that about does it for this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us. Steven, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for all your insight on the Microsoft Xbox One console. You're finding me. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. You can tune into our other podcasts that we have on the site. Steven does have the Pixelated podcast, where he focuses strictly on video games. And we also have the Comic Corner, which is hosted by Tyler and Jeff, and they review comics that are currently on their pull list. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thank you.